It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Hey, praise the Lord, I'm Pastor Michael Jakes, and welcome to The Bible Speaks Live. Once again, coming to you with a word for your heart, for your soul. We pray that all is well once again with you on tonight as we open up the Word of God. Amen. We are streaming right now live over Facebook, YouTube, and Spreaker.com. That is our podcast platform. You go there, you'll find all of the podcasts that the Lord has graced us and allowed us to produce over the years. Amen. You can also go to our website, which is thatstheword.org. You go there, you leave us your email address, and we'll send you our latest newsletter letting you know what we're doing here in the ministry. Amen. You can also go to our YouTube channel, which is also That's the Word Ministries. Amen. We are a ministry dedicated to the propagation and proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We do preach the message of the cross, Jesus Christ and Him crucified, for life, for living, and for sanctification. And so we pray that you will help us to get this word out simply by sharing out this page. If you are watching over social media, if you're watching over Facebook, you can share out this page that others also may be blessed. Amen. Well, on tonight, we are going to go into part two of our brand new series, which we began last week. Our series is entitled The Remnant. Amen. We're looking at an overview. We're giving you an overview of God's end time people. Amen. And if you are saved, if you are born again, hey, you are part of that remnant. So we want to talk about that tonight further. Amen. So we pray that you'll get your Bible, get your smart device, and get ready to hear the Word of God. Amen. We are excited. We are ready for the Word. Amen. We're going to get underway with a word of prayer and the Word of God right after this. Well, amen. Praise the Lord. We are back, as you see, coming out August the 5th. Be available August 5th on Amazon.com is our brand new book entitled Churchified or Sanctified. We're exploring the dangers of religion and the glories of relationship. Amen. So be looking for that on August the 5th, coming out on Amazon.com. Amen. Once again, we just bless the Lord and we thank Him once again for His presence tonight. We're going to get underway with the Word of God right after we pray. Lord, we bless your name tonight. We thank you once again for giving us this opportunity, Lord, to open up your Word, to share your Word. Lord, we do not take this opportunity lightly, Lord Jesus. Lord, we pray that you will be with us even now, that you will give us clarity of mind and heart, even as your Word goes forth. Lord, we know that the words tonight weigh heavy with many. So, Lord, I pray that you will help us to be sensitive as your Word goes forth. Lord, we pray that you might have your way. Speak to someone, encourage someone's heart, Lord Jesus. Lord, I pray you might lift them up. Lord, encourage, empower as only you can through your word. Lord, have your way. Bless us together right now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, hallelujah. God is good. God is good. Amen. And we just bless him and we thank him for what he is doing and what he is going to do. Amen. Well, tonight I want to begin by bringing you to the book of 1 Kings. 1 Kings, we'll jump around as usual a little bit tonight, but we want to begin in the book of First Kings, chapter number 19. First Kings, chapter number 19. Amen. And we'll be reading from, as usual, the King James Version of the Holy Bible. Amen. And we'll start reading in, we'll read two verses. We'll start in verse number 14. It says, "And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away." Let's jump down to verse number 18 to read the end of the Lord's response. He says, "Yet I have left me," this is God speaking now, "yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him." Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Amen. Tonight I want to speak to you just for a few minutes on the subject, you are not alone. Amen. You are not alone. When we see this world, when we look at the condition of this world, and we who call ourselves the people of God, the children of God, the King's children, whatever you want to call yourselves in the Lord, we are in Christ. It can be a very lonely life. Amen. I asked a question earlier as I previewed this particular video, and I said, "Have you ever been in a crowd and been alone in a crowd?" And the answer, one particular person simply replied, "No." Then I asked, "Are we really alone?" And the individual said, "No, but you can feel it. You can feel it." And when you look at that, when you look at it spiritually, when you realize just how many Christians are really in this world, how many are truly, truly following the Lord, you know that it is a small number in comparison to those who are not born again. What does the Bible say? The Bible says that there is a narrow gate. There is a narrow gate that leads to life, and a wide gate that leads to destruction. If you are a child of God, you are on the narrow road. The narrow road. And sometimes it can feel as if you are all alone. Absolutely and completely. But we are not alone. Amen. Thank God that we are not alone. Because here's what we know. God bless you, Charity. Here's what we know. God has a remnant. God has a remnant. God has a people that he has kept for himself. Let's read verse number 18 again, where it says, "Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel." Now he's talking, of course, he's talking to Elijah, and he's speaking in an Old Testament context, of course. But once again, we take this word and we take it for ourselves to mean and to understand that we ourselves are not the sum total of God's people. Elijah came to the conclusion that he was by himself. This is actually the second time that he made this statement. We have to go back. If you go back in chapter number 19, in verse number 10, he says the same exact thing for the first time. The same thing. He says, "I've been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword." And notice how he is trying to tell God. He says, "And I, even I only." He is trying to let God know that how alone he feels. God bless you, my brother Derek. He is trying to let God know just how alone he is in his endeavors. And he says, "I, even I." He could have stopped, right? He could have said, "Even I." He could have stopped that, "Even I But he didn't. He says, I, even I, only. He's trying to bring it home to God. Of all individuals, he's trying to bring it home to God that I am alone. And this is when God, in verse number 18, tells him, listen, I have left for me. And we read, you have to go into the New Testament. You go to the book of Romans, when the Apostle Paul is talking about the remnant that Israel is. And he goes down to verse number 3. Go down to verse number 3 and 4 in the book of Romans. Romans chapter 11, verses 3 and 4, where Paul the Apostle gives us a summation of this encounter that Elijah has with God. He says in verse number 3, I'm in Romans 11, verse number 3, Lord, they have killed thy prophets and dig down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. He wrote it, he put it all in shorthand there. In verse number 4, but what saith the answer of God unto him? He says, I have reserved to myself. I like that. He says, I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Now, notice some more characteristics. Last week, we talked about the marks of those who are part of the remnant. Here, we see just a few more. Look here in verse number 18. I'm back in 1 Kings, chapter number 19 and verse number 18. Those who were left, those who were reserved, that God had left for himself. I love that phrase. It says that they have not bowed the knee to Baal. They have not bowed the knee to Baal. That's talking about worship. That's talking about worship. They have not bowed the knee to Baal. Listen, how does that speak about us here today in our context? It simply means that we do not give in to the devices of Satan. We do not bow down to what he says. We do not bow down to what he wants us to do. That is not what we do. We have not bowed down to Baal. It goes on to say, and every mouth which has not kissed him, paid him homage. We read from the book of Job. From the book of Job, we gather that in those days when there was an idol, they would kiss a ring. They would kiss the idol. So they have not bowed down to Baal, nor kissed him, paid him homage in another way. This is not what those who are of the remnant do. What did we say last time? We stand strong. Those who are part of the remnant, they stand strong. God bless you, my brother Mark. They stand strong, those who are part of the remnant. Amen. The Bible says in the book of Daniel, we talked about it last time we got together, that they will do exploits. They will stand strong and do exploits. And so once again, these are part of the marks of those who are part of the remnant. But God has kept for himself, reserved for himself, those that will be his. We read, when we look in this word remnant, we see that the word remnant, in all that it means, is talking about those who have survived a catastrophe, those who have come through. Amen. And so God reserves and preserves those who are to be his. Amen. Know tonight, as you watch, as you listen, if you're a child of God and you're feeling beat down, if you're feeling put upon, if you're feeling overwhelmed, remember that you are not alone. God has reserved you for himself, and God is preserving you for himself. Let me go to 1 Peter. 1 Peter, we read some very comforting words from 1 Peter chapter number 5. 1 Peter chapter number 5, and I want to get the context. I want to start reading in verse number 6. 1 Peter chapter number 5, starting in verse number 6. It says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. It goes on, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Amen. Verse number 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Whom, verse number 9, resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. The same afflictions. Verse number 10. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Let's go back up to verse number 9. Knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world, you are not alone. We need to take solace in the fact that what we go through, others have gone through, and others are going through, and will go through. Amen? But it's not because there is some sort of blight on your life, or there's a big red X across your life that things seem to keep coming at you from every direction. That is not what is going on. God is proving you. Let me go back there again. God is proving you. Those who are part of the remnant must be proven. Amen? It says that he will make you perfect. That means that he will, you will grow in maturity. He will make you perfect. He will establish you, strengthen you, and settle you. He wants you to be grounded, absolutely grounded into a little life. And this is not scripture, but it is a truth. Into each life, a little rain must fall. Another phrase that is not scripture, but once again, it holds true anyway, is that without pain, there can be no gain. You are going to deal with things in your life. You are going to deal with them. They are going to happen in your life. But when they happen, don't feel victimized. God is not out to get you. No. You are part of the remnant. You are part of the remnant. And God is seeing to it that you will be preserved. You will be preserved. Amen. Here's what we read from the book of Hebrews, chapter number 13. And we know this scripture very well. Hebrews chapter number 13 and verse number 5. Let your conversation or your lifestyle be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Listen. I've experienced that alone feeling, that being alone and there's a crowd and you just have that, you have that feeling. And it's not a wrong feeling. Sometimes you are the only one who knows the Lord. Sometimes, listen, I can remember years ago at my job, and I'm talking about years ago, I was still a teenager. I was 18 or 19 years old. And I can remember, about 20 years old. I was married at that time. I was about 20 years old, and this guy would come into our shop, and he was very friendly with everyone. But I was a young man, and I was a young Christian man, and I didn't know much about anything. But this man would come in, and he would start talking about how that he would tell his wife that she couldn't go to church. And he would start demeaning God and demeaning church, and he would just start talking about how he was the king and the boss of the house. And when he said that she couldn't go, and everybody was standing around laughing, and I'm 20 years old. I'm standing there, and I'm just listening. But all these years later, this thing is still in my head. I can still see him standing there boasting about how he would make his wife and tell her that she wasn't going to church. Listen, sometimes we don't know the situations that people are living with. We don't know the situations that men and women go home to, or young people. We don't know the situation that they are living in. And when you are the only one in your house that knows the Lord, that understands the things of God, that can be a very, very difficult time in your life, being the only one. As Elijah said, he thought that he was alone. And we know that there is a truth in that statement, that there is a such thing as being by yourself in a matter, by yourself in who you are, where you are. But you're not alone. you are yet not alone. Amen. The Bible says that there in the book of Proverbs, I believe, it says that there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Sometimes it is the brothers and sisters in Christ who are actually more family than blood relatives. Because family doesn't know the Lord. Family doesn't understand the things of God. You can't talk to them about the things of God. But the people of God, they know, they understand. We have Christ in common. We all have the Holy Spirit in common. We're indwelt. And so we understand on a certain level. We can understand things that those that may be family don't understand. And so we need to keep that in mind. But we are not alone. God has not left us to ourselves. At no time does God leave us to ourselves. Let me go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. And I love this verse. Let me start in verse number 3. 2 Corinthians chapter number 1, starting in verse number 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort. Verse number 4. Who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Now, what does all of that signify? What does all of that mean? It sounds almost like a little tongue twister, but it's not. It's simply saying that the things that you go through, there is a reason why you go through what you go through. One of the reasons why you go through what you go through is so that you can help someone who will also go through what you go through. And you will be able to come to the aid, bring comfort, the same comfort that God showed toward you, you are able to show towards someone else. That's one of the reasons why we go through what we go through. So once again, you are not alone. You are not alone. Iron sharpens iron. We are brothers and sisters in Christ, and we are his remnant. Amen? We are his remnant. God bless you, my sister Dawn. We are his remnant, and as his remnant, we have a responsibility. We have a responsibility to be there for one another however we can. Now, of course, in this new age that we live in, I don't mean to say new age, but in this new technological age that we are living in nowadays, it's very simple to be in contact with someone. It's not the same as being in person. We understand that. It's not the same at all. But we can make contact. And so there's no reason why someone should feel alone or by themselves. And I know, in spite of what we say, listen, as the sister said earlier, replying to as I opened up before this got started, it's deep. You can feel it. Loneliness, being alone and loneliness, they're not quite the same thing. But it's something that can be felt. You feel loneliness. What do you do when there's no one else around? No one else in your vicinity that understands the things of God? No one that you can talk to. I'm talking about no one that you can speak to on a face-to-face human level. I think that we all need that someone that we can speak to. I know that we bring our needs to God. Cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Absolutely 100%. But yet and still, we need that human contact. We need someone that we can speak to, someone that human person that we can talk to, that human person that will hear us out, even if they don't say a word. Just someone that we can speak to and tell what's going on in our heart. You never usually, maybe you can tell someone everything that's on your heart. But once again, it's just having that person that you can speak to. Many people don't have that. And so in those cases, we have to come boldly to the throne of grace. Boldly to the throne of grace. There needs to be no laxness, no shyness. We need to bring our needs to Him. However you are feeling, no one needs to be feeling alone. I'm all by myself. Listen, this is what the devil will do. This is what the devil, I'm going back to 1 Kings now. This is what the devil did to the mighty Elijah. I'm calling him the mighty Elijah based on the things that he did while in his ministry on earth before the Lord took him up in a whirlwind, in a chariot of fire, so to speak. We read in chapter 18 the mighty work that he did, the mighty things that he did. And then in chapter number 19, it's what happens after victory. After that great victory, you see what happened to him. He gets a note, he gets a letter, and he simply sees that Jezebel is going to try and kill him, and it's enough to get him up and set him running away for his life. And God tells him what? What are you doing? Twice he was confronted. What are you doing? Amen? Amen. Let me read here what Charity says here from Ecclesiastes 4 and verse number 10. It says, but pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. Amen. We were created for relationships, but God is always available to his children. Amen. Amen. We need to be thankful for our brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. God will never leave us nor forsake us. We need to be there for one another. Amen. That's so, so very important. Amen. So God has that remnant, his people who will stand for him. You need not to feel alone. No, you are not alone. Amen. There are those in this world who are dealing with the very same things that you have dealt with and will deal with. Let me finally go to the book of 1 Peter, chapter number 4. 1 Peter chapter number 4 and verse number 12. 1 Peter chapter number 4 and verse number 12. Here's what it says. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. Amen. You are not alone. Not in the least bit. Amen. As we were talking about Elijah just a moment ago, that one letter from that woman set him running away from his reality, which was that God was now going to test him. But this woman set him running away. And he tells God, Lord, let me die. And we see his heart when he simply says, I'm all by myself. I'm all by myself. You see, when you have that sense of loneliness, being by yourself, that is an opportunity. That is an open door. When you feel like there's nobody around, there's nobody who understands, that there's no one who cares, that is an open opportunity for the devil to enter in and bring further deception into your life. The man wants to die. He wants to die. The woman's going to kill me. I might as well die. I'm all by myself anyway. See, the devil is a liar. The devil is absolutely a liar. And if he can get his foot in the door of your life, he will try and set up a beachhead, a stronghold. He will try to make a fort in your life, a fort that he can establish in your life. And it will be so difficult for you to come out of that place of loneliness and depression. It's a horrible place to be. A horrible place to be. You are not alone, though. You've heard the story of myself when I lost my children in consecutive years. And as I sat there in that room, that one Christmas, that first Christmas that I didn't have both of those children. And I sat there in my den on Christmas Day. The sun was shining outside. I had pulled down the shades and I was just sitting there. And I sat there. And my wife comes into the den. I've been sitting there for over an hour. And she comes into that den. And she approaches me. And looking back on it, she approaches me in the very same way that God approaches Elijah when he was in that cave. And simply said, "What are you doing here?" My wife said, "What are you doing here?" And it shook me. It jarred me. And I came to myself, as we read the story of the prodigal son. I came to myself when she said, "What are you doing here?" Just sitting in the dark, and I was just moping. And I was alone, and I was depressed, and I was just, my children are gone, and now what am I going? What are you doing? There is a life to be lived. There are things to be done. There are things that God has called you to do. God has a work. God has a plan for your life. And you do not allow the things that will happen in your life to stop you. You're not alone. You're not alone. God has a remnant. You are part of that remnant. And as the days become more evil, listen, as the days become more evil, you are going to need to understand and know even more that you are not alone. Listen, we have not yet reached that point in time here in the United States of America where it is so difficult to be a Christian as it is in other parts of the world. We are not there yet. Not that we won't ever get there, but we are not quite there yet. There may be pockets here in the country where it's more difficult, but the point is that it is going to be increasingly difficult to be who you are. But as one of God's reserved and preserved people, you need to know that you are not alone. I have met over the past year or so, and probably even more, this little online family. I never knew that these people, that you who are watching and listening, I never knew you were there. I mean, I had no contact with any of you, but now I have had some contact with some of you. No, I have never met most of you, but I have had no contact with you, but here we are. You are not alone. I am not alone. Amen. We are part of God's great big family. Let me go to the words as I close this out tonight. There's an old song that I used to sing, that our choir used to sing. It's an old song, and if you're not old like I am, you won't know it, and you probably never heard it. But the words of the song says, "I love the thrill that I feel when I get together with God's wonderful people. I love the thrill that I feel when I get together with God's wonderful people. What a sight just to see all the happy faces praising God in heavenly places. What a thrill that I feel when I get together with God's wonderful people. Oh, what joy his love affords when we meet in one accord and we lift our hearts in praise unto the Lord. There's no fellowship so sweet. There is no one who can compete with the feeling I feel whenever God's children meet." Oh, I can go on and on. You know, Dawn. You remember, Dawn. We were together. We used to sing that song. Amen. And so we are that remnant. We are God's wonderful people. And when we come together in person, or even as we are right now, we know it's a step down from being touching and being in each other's presence. But yet and still, you can still sense the presence of God. You can still sense the life and the love from the Word of God. Even through technology, you can sense the presence of God. Listen, you are part of God's remnant. You are part of God's wonderful people. And being one of God's end time people, it's going to be incumbent upon us to be who we are. Amen. God bless you, Linda. God bless you, Linda. Okay, good. You're not old, but you know that song. Okay, amen. Good, good. I mean, that's an old song. So I just assume that no one would have heard it, but amen. God bless you. Listen, it's going to become more and more necessary for us to know who we are in Him. Amen. And to know that you're not alone. You're not by yourself. When things look bleak, when things look hard, and as Linda said earlier, you can feel it. You know you're not alone, but you can feel it. You can feel loneliness. Just like in the book of Exodus, we read a statement in the book of Exodus when the plague of darkness came upon Egypt. The Bible says it was a darkness that could be felt. That's a darkness that almost literally that you could cut with a knife. That is dark. And sometimes being alone, the feeling, the deep loneliness, you can feel it. It's thick. But know that others are with you. You have people praying for you. You have people pulling for you. You have people that are looking to you. That's why you can't give up. That's why you can't turn your back. That's why you can't turn around. There are people that are watching you. There are people that are looking at you. Listen, the Bible says even angels look, they look into this thing that we call Christianity. They're looking to us. No, an angel will never get saved. They're not human. They're not mortal. They cannot be born again, but they look into, they're just messengers, but they look into this thing. So we need to show them just what it is, just what this salvation is all about. What it's all about, ladies and gentlemen, is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Amen. That's what it's all about. Amen. Do you know Him? Do you trust Him? Not in your works, not in your pastor, not in your church. Do you trust Him? That is what it's all about. A part of the remnant. If you're a part of that remnant, it means that you trust Him and you trust Him alone. Amen. Lord, we bless your name tonight. Lord, we thank you for your presence. Lord, we've sensed your presence once again. And Lord, we just thank you, Lord Jesus, for the opportunity to be able to minister to those who will hear your word. Lord, we know that as the days get darker, the days are going to get more corrupt. The days are going to get more evil. But Lord, we know that we are not alone. That Lord, that you have reserved a people for yourself. Lord, your word declares that we are your chosen people. So, Lord, we pray that you might continue to be with us, lead us and guide us into your truth, Lord Jesus. The enemy would tell us that God is not there, that God is gone, that God doesn't care, but we know that the devil is a liar. Lord, we know that you will never leave us nor forsake us. So, Lord, we pray that you will continue to carry out your word. Lord, continue to give us your word that we might carry it out faithfully, Lord. You may be listening tonight, watching tonight, and maybe you don't know the Lord. I'm just going to pray a prayer. And once again, there's no powers in this prayer. There's no magic in this prayer. This prayer is simply a prayer that you can pray on your own. It is a model prayer. It is a prayer that will lead you to salvation. If you don't know the Lord tonight, by faith, praying, the Lord can come into your heart even now. Just ask the Lord to come into your heart. You can start by simply repeating after me, "Dear Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sin. I thank you for dying on the cross for me. Lord, your word declares that if I believe with my heart and confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus, that I shall be saved. Lord, I thank you for what you have done for me. Lord, I put my faith in you right now. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Once again, there's no magic in that prayer, but if by faith you pray that prayer, the Lord has done a work in your heart and life tonight. Amen. God is good. Amen. We just honor the Lord. We bless him tonight. Let me just say hi to a few people before we go. God bless you, Linda. God bless you, Dawn and Cairo. Rosie Stagg. God bless you. God bless you, my brother Derek. God bless you. Thank you for joining us on tonight. God bless you, my brother Mark. Amen. Well, we want to invite you, as we always do, we want to invite you once again to join us. Also, don't forget that our new book will be coming out August the 5th on Amazon. We're just putting a few finishing touches on it, but it will be ready on August the 5th. It's called Churchified or Sanctified, Exploring the Dangers of Religion and the Glory of Relationship. Amen. So I pray that you'll be able to get your copy in the next few weeks if you choose to do so. Amen. Also, tomorrow night we are continuing in our first principles course of the Christian life. And we're continuing talking about the church, the glorious church. Amen. And so we pray that you will join us tomorrow night at 8 o'clock p.m. Listen, invite somebody to watch with you. You can do that simply by sharing out the page or by word of mouth or send them a text. Or there's different ways that you can go about doing that. But just let somebody know that there's a little study taking place tomorrow night. Or any night of the week that we're here, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday night, that we devote to the Word of God completely. Amen. Also, on Sunday morning, we have our lessons from the parables, and we're finding encouragement from selected parables from the book of Luke. Amen. So that's this coming Sunday morning. Join us at 11:30 if you can. If not, you can catch us on the replay. And of course, on Monday night, we are in the book of Matthew, and we will be into chapter number 8. We're moving right along, going through the book of Matthew and the books of the New Testament, one verse at a time. Amen. So we pray that you'll join us at 7 o'clock p.m. next Monday night, Matthew chapter number 8. Amen. So that is our agenda. That's what's happening. That's what we're doing. Listen, if you go to our website, thatstheword.org, as we said, leave us your email address. We'll send you out a newsletter letting you know what we're doing here. Get on our mailing list if you can, if you so desire. Amen. Also, if you have not yet subscribed to our YouTube channel, you can also go to our YouTube channel, which is That's the Word Ministries, and become a subscriber to our channel. Amen. If you so desire, nobody's forcing anybody to do it. You can do that if you want to do it. Amen. And so we pray that you will do it. Amen. That is always optional. Everything is optional. Amen. So once again, we thank you for being with us. I'm going to thank everybody for their support. The support that we have received from those who have gone over to our website and given to this ministry, it just helps to defray the cost of equipment and the website. It's not free. It's free to be online, but we have equipment around us that you can't see, and other little things that we're doing to keep us moving and going. So we thank everyone for their financial support. Amen. We just bless the Lord. We just thank him. Amen. And so, until tomorrow night, hopefully you can join us once again at 8 o'clock for First Principles of the Christian Life, the Cunningham Wright Bible Study, the Glorious Church. We'll see you then at 8 o'clock. And I'm Pastor Michael Jakes, and that's all we have for tonight. And thank you for being with us, and have a good night. God bless you.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.